just to kind of fill the dead space here, I guess I'll get started with the introductory comments, and I'm hopeful that all those who are invited know who we are in terms of the financial stability ratings and support services for that we've been providing. And the reason for the call is to provide some background information to the attendees, and we'll be recording the call so that those who don't attend will have a chance to hear about some of the umbrella insurance options available through Appalachian Underwriters. And Jay Neal will be talking about some of the activities that he's coordinating through the Florida Association of Insurance Reform, and also give a legislative update. And then Rick Bursnack will provide some information on insurance agency and O markets, and what he's been seeing from a perspective of helping out Demotech rated companies, and the same on the D&O and E&O for insurance company professional liability. So my primary purpose for coordinating the call is to let folks know about the bundle of services that are available from Demotech, and some of the opportunities in the marketplace that have been developed over time as well. And we've got at this end, I got myself, Joe Petrelli, Bob Warren's here, Barry Kessler, and Rick Bursnack. So I think, Mr. Stroom, if you're ready, you're welcome to talk a little bit about the opportunities with Appalachian.
Yeah, and I appreciate it. First off, Joe and the folks at Demotech, we go several years back. We've just had a tremendous relationship working with the team over there. And they've been very supportive of what we are trying to accomplish with our personal umbrella program. We successfully worked with each of our carriers to work and recognize that Demotech A-rated carriers are higher as a underlying carrier requirement for any of our personal umbrellas. So there's a lot of confidence that goes with that when we talk about our solutions in the marketplace. We market our product under a website called expressumbrella.com, and it's either through an E or an X on the front. We work with about 27,000 agents, independent agents nationwide, who have free roam of all of our products. And we specifically have honed in on the umbrella for the last several years. With our product, we've created a kind of a unified rater. We actually have some back-end integration with three carriers that we actually market with. We currently write with United States Liability Insurance Company. They're A++, Berkshire Hathaway Company. We also work with the Hudson Insurance Group, and we work with Nautilus. So I know there's Nautilus recently ventured in with Ann Bowman Clark leaving Hudson, and we actually have that contract with them as well. All A-rated carriers, admitted and non-admitted solutions. So the nice thing about our solution, though, when agents come to us to get a quote, so we realize you have independent agents that may or may not have a captive arrangement with you, but if they ever needed an umbrella, just have confidence that, you know, you could send them to me directly or to our website or to Appalachian. We'll handle them really well. The nice thing about our product is it is a true monoline umbrella, personal umbrella. We have, because it is monoline, we do underwrite with a minimum liability limit of $300,000 on the homeowner's piece. The underlying auto has a requirement of $250,500. Where we see the appetite of people coming to us is they might have a little bit of hair on it. Maybe it's a little bit a higher profile customer, a lot of assets. We have the ability to write a minimum of $1 million of coverage, but we also have the ability to go to $10 million and or stack to get to $20 million. One of the nice features, I know there's a lot of Florida, there may be a lot of the Florida homeowners markets on the phone with Citizens and carriers, the Citizens limiting the liability to $100,000. All of these carriers do offer a comprehensive personal liability product, as well as an excess CPL to go ahead and fill that void between what is eligibility for an umbrella being $300,000 with me and maybe the $100,000 that you only offer. It's a great gap product to help bring that person compliant to where they can actually tap into the umbrella. What's really nice about the product, though, youthful operators, all the stuff that's a little bit tougher for the standard markets that want the package business, we write the tough stuff. We can write the distress, the non-standard, the youthfuls with incidents, the DUI on referral. We can actually have it with some serious major violations. But typically we're writing celebrities, NFL players, just people of high net worth. I would say our median value that we're typically issuing is a $2 million limit. And the carriers all have a really pretty broad appetite for wanting to write the business more so than declining it. So I'd like to think we are a one shop. We're going to go to market and give you the best option for the customer. And we do. We have a hit ratio, I would say, probably 25% of every quote that's issued, we actually issue a policy. And that's pretty good for just being a broad market offering. Our system is very intuitive. People can access our rater and get an indication, real-time quote, back within, I would say, 2 minutes. The rates come back in about 8 seconds. Any kind of questions about, or is there any kind of a specific question, appetite question, or anything about the carriers in general? Okay. As far as the offer, the nice thing about our rater, too, is that when an agent goes in there, we're always going to lead with our best price and our best admitted market. So we want to have a direct bill option, an admitted carrier where there's no fees or excess surplus type taxes when available. And obviously we want to have the most attractive rate. Those will always be our leading requirement unless it kicks out to what we would say is an E&S option. But again, to the agent, they're not really controlling what is offered. We're always going to lead with that admitted market. Our fees are pretty minor. Taxes are all standard. Again, I'd probably say our average premium we're writing is in that $450 range for a couple million dollars of coverage. Florida is another one state. I see with our product, California, believe it or not, Missouri, Midwest is really strong. In the Northeast, New York, New Jersey. This product is available nationwide, so there's no state limitations on it. We do offer an a phone solution too. If they ever got hung up or are in a hurry, we would absolutely do the indication over the phone through a new unit we formed on over here at Appalachian called our Express phone quote unit. We can actually do. There are some farm and ranch owners, more on, and it's really from a personal line perspective. I know with the Demotech rated carriers, there seems to be some gentleman farms of that nature. We actually have the ability with USLI Limited, but with Hudson, they seem to have a little bit broader appetite to want to play in that space. So if there are any farmers, CPL type of requirement, love to talk to them. I would imagine. I have seen that come up in the past, Joe. That would be a good option for us to work for you.
Yeah, and several of the companies we work with that have the family farms or hobby farms, if you will, have availed themselves of that.
Yeah, tobacco farms, illicit drug type farms are ineligible risk. We can do some on and off premises tractor and farm vehicle coverage that the CPL will help encompass. That's kind of just a high level. Again, if there's any specific questions, love to field them.
I think from my perspective, if you wanted to get me a tear sheet or some background information, I'll distribute that to the folks who were invited, and you're also welcome to spend a few minutes here telling folks how to get in touch with you, and so maybe they want to follow up, offline.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll have the tear sheets, that emphasize the fact that, we do ride over Demotech A-rated carriers. It's a nice thing for. It's a PDF that you'll be able to hand down to your agents or anybody has any general interest. My direct line at Appalachian Underwriters is 865-425-7328. It's my direct extension. Have confidence if you do refer anybody to me I take my phone very seriously. I answer all my calls, and I will return those calls very promptly. Really appreciate the opportunity of joining and telling a little bit about what we have to offer. And again, thanks, Joe, for all you do for us.
It's our pleasure. Thank you. I look forward to, if you want to send that out to me, I'll make sure it's distributed as well.
Great. Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Thank you. Next up, we're going to ask Jay Neal at the Florida Association for Insurance Reform to tell a little bit about what it is he's been doing the last couple of years and also more current to the day-to-day work, maybe a legislative update on some of the fires that are burning in the legislature. So, Jay, you would?
Thank you, Joe. My name is Jay Neal. I'm president and CEO of the Florida Association for Insurance Reform, acronym FAIR. The organization turns 3 years old next month. Our membership is open to all stakeholders and affected by insurance issues in Florida, but we also are forming an organization that will have a national focus. Our mission is to seek a stable, long-term policy, but greater stability in the public policy approach in the Florida market, particularly in property. We think that that's good for both the industry and consumers, and in fact, all the stakeholders. In order to achieve that type of stability and long-term lasting policy, we believe that we need to find balance, that if we go too far to one extreme, that we invite a backlash. We call it the pendulum effect. So our objective is to eliminate the pendulum effect, park the pendulum in the middle, and so in order to achieve that, you know, as an example, we have a board that is very representative of virtually every stakeholder group from construction to real estate. We have insurance company executives. We have trial attorneys. We have the president of the Florida Association for Public Adjusters. And we literally do all sit in a room and discuss issues and have regular working groups and forums where we can talk through issues. As an example, and in terms of dealing with attritional losses, one of the problems we identified is the use of abusive assignment of benefits. Our working group on that was co-chaired by a public adjuster and an insurance company claims executive. So that's the kind of approach we take. Let's get everybody, no matter how extreme we think, and put them in the room. In doing that process, we've identified what we think are a significant number of win-wins. And I'll entertain any questions about who we are and what we are. You can get more information at our website. It's FloridaInsuranceReform.org. You can see who our board members are, and including Joe, who, by the way, we were at business school about 30 years ago at Ohio State together. So we work very closely. One of the priorities that we have is to move citizens' policies into the private market. In fact, that's priority number one. We want to try to find ways to do that don't put the current citizens' policy holders in the crossfire. And we think we've come up with a lot of solutions that meet that objective. In doing so, we work closely with Demotech to try to explain that the companies that are actively writing business in Florida are strong, and that Demotech's rating ability is as good as anybody else's, if not better. And so that's a message that we're working on sending. In terms of current legislation, it really breaks down into three categories. There's a couple of flood bills, which I'll cover very briefly. There are two bills that one was just filed yesterday, which is a result of the former Insurance Consumer Advocates working group that dealt with a number of issues. The CFO is CFO Atwater is behind that bill. It's Senate Bill 708. It's been filed, but they'll almost certainly be a comprehensive strike all in that there are a lot of negotiations going on, a lot of discussions going on. Just as an example, again, I talked with two CEOs about it yesterday, and we also had a discussion with the trial lawyers. So we talked with everybody across the spectrum and try to find those win-wins. A second bill that will probably be changed is the yearly non-controversial sort of grab bag of insurance changes. It usually turns out to be more controversial than not, or many of the provisions. And that's House Bill 565, Representative Santiago. Senator Brandis has a Senate companion bill, which has not yet been filed. There are some prohibitions against post-claim underwriting with credit information. There are a lot of technical changes to agents and agencies. And there are some provisions that, for example, would allow averaging CAT models in rate filings. But there's also some language on appraisal and umpire requirements that is a long way from reaching consensus. So we would expect that that's going to be another strike all and look very different. So the three additional bills, one of them is a flood. It was basically designed to provide easier methods for private carriers to offer flood insurance. There are two bills that have been filed, the Senate Bill 542 and House Bill 581, Senator Brandis and Representative Ahern. The idea here is to provide private options, including E&S. The issues are that we have to make sure that we contain expectations. And for that, I'll give you an example. We had a folks who actually moved down from Ohio, purchased their sort of post-retirement dream home on the water in Pinellas County. Their flood premium was about $3,000 a year. Their renewal quote from NFIP was $44,000 a year. They were able to procure a policy through Lloyd's, which was $9,100 per year. And so when I address expectations, what we're trying to do is, in some cases where the NFIP rate is just off the charts, we want there to be private alternatives. We co-hosted a flood summit last Wednesday with the Florida Realtors in Orlando, and had a fantastic participation from the industry, from reinsurance, Florida counties, Florida Bankers Association. Oh, pardon me. And a number of other groups, but the objective of that is to provide possible changes to the NFIP that we could have the Florida congressional delegation report, and also to identify things beyond our statutory control in Florida that we would need to accomplish in order to really have a private market. Part of that was making sure we had the acceptance from secondary mortgage market. To that end, we've had meetings with Freddie and Fannie. In fact, I'm flying up the last week of February to further that discussion. The Banking and Insurance Subcommittee Chairman in the House has some different ideas and is also introducing a flood bill. So flood will be front and center. What we are going to do to keep our members and stakeholders and policymakers updated is issue basically a one pager that updates and changes as there are developments as the session approaches. As you know, we're going into next week. There'll be three committee weeks, a week off, and then we go into the 2-month session. You can let us know that you'd like to be included on that distribution list by just sending us an email, and you can send it to info@ FloridaInsuranceReform.org. Florida Insurance Reform, all one word. I guess I've got it turned off this time. There are two other bills that we think are important that are filed, that have been discussed with all the stakeholders. They both have widespread support from our Florida home-based carriers, and more formally through the CEO group, headed by Tom Jerger, who is a board member of FAIR, and the Florida Property and Casualty Association, which has several members. We also secured on both these initiatives the formal support of the Florida Realtors, other consumer groups outside of FAIR, so we have a substantial support for both. The two areas are the two bills are first Senate Bill 346, House Bill 143, which are reforms to the mechanism that FIGA, the Florida Insurance Guarantee Association, uses to levy assessments. We've looked at the current way assessments are done, and because it's based on retrospective market share, and we have a more volatile market than usual, some policyholders end up paying almost double the stated assessment, others pay none. And so we have been looking for a mechanism so that it's basically fair across the board. If you're an insurance consumer subject to assessment, you pay the same as a percentage of your premium as any other insurance consumer. We've also identified the fact that the FIGA assessments, the way they're done, the carriers pay the assessment within 30 days and then recoup it from their policyholders. And what we've identified is a couple of things. One is it can have an impact, particularly for the public companies. It has a negative impact on their GAAP accounting. But for all the companies, it actually has an average full assessment, emergency assessment, would lead to an average almost 10% reduction in surplus across the board, as high as 20% for some companies, because the percentage is based on last year's written premium, not the surplus. We have argued that FIGA has an ability to borrow very cheaply at less than half the cost of the lost opportunity costs from investment income that the carriers experience by not having the upfront FIGA assessment earning investment income. So this one was a bill that was virtually non-controversial last year, but stalled anyway. It went through four committees with one negative vote, and this year we had a little rougher time, and it's a little bit more of a pitched battle. Well, actually a lot more of a pitched battle. But that's a battle that we're waging. We've got the public companies involved and many of the other carriers, and so we're still going forward with trying to make sure that bill becomes legislation this year. It also would increase the FIGA limit for condos from $100,000 per unit to $200,000 per unit. We're big fans of private capital and innovation coming into the Florida market. And an example of that is Weston, which has bid to take out a number of the commercial residential policies that are stuck in Citizens. One of the biggest impediments to those policies coming out is that their volunteer boards of those associations have to make that choice. And one of the things that stopped them is that in about half the time, we're told by a multitude of commercial agents, $100,000 per policy is not enough if there was a failure of that company associated with a catastrophic event. And so the increase from 100 to 200, we think makes sense. It has support from many of the residential associations, CALL, CAN, Space Coast Community Association, and so that we're all working together in trying to move that legislation forward. The other bill is Senate Bill 610, which is reforms to the Florida Hurricane Catastrophic Fund. Essentially, what this bill would do is, in a way, a compromise bill. Last session, a bill was filed by Senator Hayes in the Senate, Representative Hager in the House, to reduce the capacity permanently for the Florida Hurricane Cat Fund from $17 billion, staged over a few years, to $14 billion. In today's relatively soft reinsurance market, although the rate impact to that is not major at this period of time, we are talking about a statutory change that cannot be quickly undone if the reinsurance market and its historic volatility changes, and then we have a significant rate impact. The opposite bill to that last year, which in essence hijacked Senator Hayes' bill in the Senate Banking and Insurance Committee, was by Senator Ring, and it would lower the retention, the aggregate retention, by $2 billion. The objective of that is to give private ratepayers a significant indicated rate decrease, which, according to our conversations with the takeout companies, would remove an estimated 200 to 250,000 additional policies out of Citizens and into the private market. So what we came up with last year was a bit of a compromise that would lower the capacity by $2 billion, lower the retention by $2 billion, lower the capacity also by $2 billion from $17 to $15 billion, but allow the State Board of Administration, basically the Florida Cabinet, to restore that capacity in any given year when there was volatility in the reinsurance market. We've made significant inroads that we think we'll be okay in the Senate. We're going to have a much tougher battle in the House. The bill does do some additional things. It provides rate transparency in the rate process. It means that the rate making has to be peer reviewed. It also aligns the coverages for the copay on the long side, the mandatory level. So that each year the CAT fund adds more and more exclusions, which makes it difficult for carriers to buy reinsurance alongside because they're in effect comparing apples to oranges. The bill would allow carriers to file in their rates reinsurance expenditures whether they're considered duplicative or not. But we hope that by aligning those coverages that the carriers will be able to compare apples to apples and not have to buy excess reinsurance that provides double coverage. The bill also clarifies the rental definition for commercial residential properties. The CAT fund rulemaking basically said that if you had a certain percentage of people who've rented their unit that you weren't eligible for coverage under the CAT fund. And you can imagine that many of these volunteer associations really don't even have that information, but have to sign a renewal every year saying that they qualify under that rental. We don't think the wind cares whether a unit's rented or owned, and so we're clarifying that definition to make it clear that the CAT fund does cover those and relieving those volunteer association boards of having to make that difficult call. So we have again substantial support. The industry likes the FICA bill. They love the CAT fund bill because of the historic instability in reinsurance rates and what that means for planning and what that means for new policies and policies that come out of Citizens. So I'll leave it there and entertain any questions anyone would have.
Jay, this is Joe. I think the fact that everybody's getting an announcement that it's being recorded might be impeding questions, but I have a few. The first, if someone wants copies of those bills, are those available through your website?
We can always put Maria Mallory White, our communications director, is listening, so I'm going to send a message and answer the question at the same time. We can always put a link, but the legislative sites, if you go to flsenate.gov and click on session and bills, you can pull up a bill by subject matter, by sponsor, or by bill number. You can also enroll in their tracker service, which you can pick which bills you'd like to be tracked, and you'll receive an email automatically as that bill moves through the process. So I think what we'll do, Joe, is put a link to that on our site.
And then I had another just kind of one last question. Obviously, everybody's kind of maybe focused on the governor's race. In Florida, I'm wondering if there might be changes in the representation on the House Insurance Committee or the Senate Insurance Committee where there might be some leadership changes that insurance companies might be interested in hearing a little bit more about. Any thoughts on that?
Yes, there's the inside ball, but nothing is nothing is cast in stone. Both the chairs of those two committees are in their final year, but that's because of term limits. And we don't have an indication of who the Senate Banking Insurance Chairman will be. As you know, the House Speakers are already elected. The next three House Speakers are already elected. And they have, unlike some of the lower houses and states throughout the country, the House Speaker has total control. There is no separate election of a majority leader. So the Speaker has the ability to appoint all committee members, the majority leader, and the other caucus offices. And those three speakers coming up are Representative Chris Afoli, who's from the Space Coast area, Representative Corcoran, who's from Pasco County, and Representative Oliva, who's from Miami-Dade. And so, you know, we have some ideas as to who those key chair people might be, but that's all they are at this point is ideas.
Okay. And I guess lastly, before we transition to Rick Burznak, if you want to let folks know again how to get in touch with FAIR in case folks joined us after the – because I turned off the announcements, people coming and going. In case anybody joined us late, how to contact FAIR again.
Yes, it's our website is FloridaInsuranceReform.org, all one word, Florida Insurance Reform. And every year that we've worked with the legislature, we get more and more and more buy-in, but we still have detractors, and it's a foreign concept to some people that insurance claims executives would sit in the same room as a trial attorney or a public adjuster, but we've actually found that that has been productive. Our hope is that we can take the whole issue of property insurance sort of out of the boxing ring, and make it not such a political area for discussion. And in doing that, I think we'll be in a better place, both for the industry and insurance consumers.
Thanks, Jay. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. You're welcome to stay with us if you want to hear Rick Burznak, who's going to talk about insurance agents, E&O markets, and then also talk about insurance company professional liability, which are two areas that Rick and I have made some, and the team at Demotech made some good progress on. So, Rick?
Yeah. Thanks, Joe. Just as an overview of background, Joe and I have worked together for close, probably 20 to 25 years on various product product development and marketing projects. Over the last 5 years, when Joe came to me with what he thought was a big problem for his clients, we've been working specifically on insurance agents, errors, and omissions coverage, which, as most of you know, the major players like Utica, Fireman's Fund, Liberty, all have insolvency exclusions for companies that have AM Best ratings of B-plus or less, and those levels seem to vary from state to state, and of course would not at that time recognize the Demotech rating system or methodology. So we set about to find some carriers that, number one, would look at Demotech as a viable rating source, which is Joe's been doing since he started this company, probably, and really gave them a chance to get to know Demotech, the way they go about their business and assigning their rates, and or not rates, but their FSRs. And then finally, just putting them in a position where they felt comfortable either specifically endorsing a company on the policy, which is the equivalent of a carve back for coverage for a Demotech company, or in some cases we've been able to get a blanket Demotech endorsement where any company with an A rating or higher from Demotech automatically has a carve back. So, you know, what we've accomplished, and in fact, kind of step back a little bit, over the last year and a half, year to year and a half, we found a lot of these traditional E&O underwriters kind of coming around once we put a proposal out there that includes the coverages that the agent and the companies are looking for. A lot of them will relent and put that endorsement on to save a renewal and keep their clients. So Not good news for us, but it's certainly helping Joe accomplish what we originally set out to do. So there has been some softening in, with major carriers coming around to some extent. Now what we have in place, and
if I may, I just want to jump in and kind of repeat from a high level what Rick just said is the E&O carriers are actually, I'll say this, not Rick, that they're being somewhat disingenuous in that they will grant the coverage, but for whatever reason, they're making the agent, Rick, and a whole lot of other people do some work in advance. And we're genuinely appreciative of Rick's efforts, knowing full well that what he might wind up with is getting a company, an E&O underwriter, to do the right thing instead of him picking up the business. So we appreciate that.
Sure. Thanks. We've learned that on the hard way. But I think in general, you know, the kind of clients we want anyhow are saying, look, you guys could have done this for us a while ago. And so we've been able to prevail and pick up a lot of nice new accounts based on that. What we've got in place now, after the last, you know, 3.5, 4, 5 years, we actually have what I call a portfolio of products that can support any Demotech insurer countrywide, and especially in Florida, that has an FSR of A or higher. We've got several insurers that have a standalone insurance agents, errors and omissions policy, and they'll either issue a specific carve-back for a specific company, or as I'd said before, they will issue a blanket Demotech endorsement. This applies to any Demotech company doing business in Florida. The other products that we have a company-sponsored master policy concept for all of your contracted agents. So if you're looking to solve that issue in Florida, or if you're expanding into other states, as some of my clients are doing now, we can do that on a blanket basis, and we refer to it as a company-sponsored plan where the company pays the premium for the agencies. Or we can do it where you pick and choose the agents that are working with you and building a book of business and developing that type of relationship you're looking for to grow your company. We can do it that way. We also have an excess E&O policy with what we call a drop-down insolvency endorsement. In other words, if a company's carrying a $4 million limit, they can drop down in their primary coverage, take a $2 million primary limit. We'll write a $2 million limit, and we will offer our policy has a drop-down that will give them a $2 million insolvency limit. So a couple ways to slice and dice that product. And we're actually working with one of the major carriers. They've offered our product a couple times as an alternative to the insolvency exclusion if they don't want to modify or endorse. So in general, in summary, this product's competitively priced with the standard market. We have flexible underwriting. I have a partner, Phil Collins, that I've worked with for years, who just does a terrific job in getting this business placed and underwritten and getting us the endorsements we need. It's just we've had a lot of fun selling this. In summary, this is going to be as the takeout companies start building their agency force and their marketing plans within Florida. I know that's got to be, from talking to some of you already, that's one of the major objections an agency throws up is the insolvency exclusion. So we can help you overcome that one right away in the first meeting. And I'm glad to work with your marketing reps once you put a plan together if you're interested in some of these things. But I've even gone as far as talking to agency principals about the coverage, about the form. And, you know, we've been able to, you know, place some nice accounts simply because we were able to offer this coverage either on a blanket basis or an individual basis. So, quite frankly, I won't say this outside of people in the insurance circle, but I've had a ball doing this the last couple of years. It's just been a really interesting product to offer and to sell and to help you folks grow your businesses.
Before you transition into the D&O, E&O for the companies, maybe just run through again how they can get in touch with you so that in case anybody needs to drop off the line here.
My phone number is 614 614- 764-7600. 7000. My email is the letter R, and then B as in boy, ERSNAK, at Keenan, KEENANINS.com. And we're based in Dublin, Ohio. If you want to just Google Keenan Insurance in Dublin, Ohio, you can get our contact information off the website.
Yep. And we'll be getting all this information, both Taggy and Jay's and Rick's information to everybody, but I'm not sure when that'll happen, so I want to give everybody a chance to, if they're in a rush, to get it done now.
I don't get a break here?
No.
Okay. The other product that we put together about the same time and was our insurance company, ICPL, or Insurance Company Professional Liability, and D&O policy. We started out with that with the same players, same participants that Phil Collins and Joe and myself, looking for a company that really wanted to get to know Demotech, get to know Demotech clients. We started out targeting all of Demotech clients around the country, from title companies to med-mal companies to offshore captives. We really got a pretty broad spread of specialty underwriters and niche players. The Florida companies we've been working with for probably about 2 years now, they've all been excellent prospects for us. Some of you, I think, might be on the phone today. And I really feel we've been able to help them get the right product. We've been able to offer some of our agency NO products to them. So it's been a lot of fun, again, helping them get their companies going. And I think we're coming up on our fourth year writing this type of coverage. Our pricing has been very good, and we are not price sellers. We're not trying to drive this business in the marketplace, which has continued to shrink, by the way, over the last 4 or 5 years, especially for smaller companies or startups. But we've just been very competitive price-wise, product-wise. We have a very broad coverage options, 10 proprietary endorsements that are not part of the standard contract, and that we offer to strictly to Demotech clients. I mean, most of what I've done in this process is do the things that we felt the regular marketplace, the regular players in insurance company, professional liability, D&O, Travelers, Chubb, and CNA, and AIG, things that they weren't offering to do or weren't willing to do for the smaller specialty companies. So that's been really gratifying for us, is to bring a top-line product to your marketplace. Typically, we have lower retentions than our competitors. A lot of them will see the accounts that we do get a chance to look at who've had coverage for a while. We'll see retentions in the $250,000 to $500,000 range. Typically, we're in the $100,000 range. We have plenty of capacity for limits, and we have other insurance companies, too, for if we need to build a tower with substantial limits. I'll go back to Phil again. Phil's a very creative underwriter and marketer, and he's got some strong relationships with the companies we use primarily. We use primarily one insurer, Allied World, and they've just been terrific to work with. And they've just been great coming up with a lot of special coverages and underwriting considerations that we get for specific needs of the different companies that we've been working with. Also, to cap that all off, we give up to a $5,000 credit, premium credit, as a percentage of your Demotech. Whatever your Demotech fee is, we'll credit up to $5,000 towards your annual premium. That's on an annual basis, not just on the front end one time. So that's a quick summary of that product, but it's just been great. I mean, my hit ratio is over, and this is countrywide, not just in Florida, but it's over 90%, and our retention has been great. So it's just been a nice niche for us.
Thanks, Rick. So I think I know, again, that the recording of the of the meeting might have intimidated or depressed the questions a little, you could feel free to send any questions for future events, teleconferences to either Barry Kessler, Bob Warren, or myself. I think we had to record this conversation because there's a fair number of folks that are in transit to I believe the Guy Carpenter Summit in Amelia Island, and I didn't want to delay. I think we want to get out of the box strong in 2014, letting the companies we work with know that we've got products and services to support you, and we do a lot more than just look at the quarterly financials and the reinsurance. We're always looking for ways to make your life easier, to level the playing field for you, and help you keep the agents and the producers you want, the insured you want, get the coverages you need. And we've been fortunate that there's a very elite group of international and national carriers that are supporting us and the companies we work with in that endeavor. So feel free to get, like I said, myself, Barry, Bob, any ideas you might have on some future topics you want to hear about from us, maybe some challenges you're having that we may have a solution for, you don't even know it. We want to get that communication flowing. I don't know if there's any comments from the group on the phone. You're welcome to make them. We'll shut up here for a little bit, and you feel free to chime in. Okay, well, hearing none, feel free to send us your emails. I've gotten a couple already during the call, but feel free to send them any comments and thoughts you have. We'll send you a link to this so that you can share it with some of the other folks at your office, and we look forward to the next one. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Bye now.